Okay, the recording has restarted at 9:54. We'll do a roll call. Dr. Cornwall?
Here.
Dr. King?
Here.
Dr. Bastillo?
Here.
Mr. Clinton?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
Okay, we're all here. Dr. Cornwall?
All right, we're back from executive session. Continuation of case number 21-20, Alejandro. And any questions for his counsel, or is there a motion?
I'd like to make a motion. I'd move that we offer the licensee or the certificate holder a interim consent agreement, which we would basically suspend this investigation during the pendency of his criminal proceedings on condition that the certificate holder agrees not to practice physical therapy until before us. If the certificate holder does not accept the interim consent agreement, I would invite him for a formal hearing.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Any questions about the motion or discussion?
Dr. Cornwall, this is Mark Harris. Mr. Greer, I just had a question. Did you want, if he did not sign the ICA, did you want to refer this directly to a formal hearing, or did you want to invite him in for an informal hearing?
I wanted to refer directly to a formal hearing.
Thank you.
Any discussion? Okay, let's call the vote.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to offer the certificate holder, Mr. Alejandro Iniguez, in case 21-20. Mr. Iniguez is a PTA, to offer him a consent agreement to suspend the investigation through the criminal proceedings, and if they fail to sign the consent agreement, refer to a formal hearing. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right.
Dr. Cornwall, just really quickly, the investigator in the investigative report suggested that based on her findings, the board might consider opening a complaint against the PT who was supervising the PTA. Just wanted to bring that to the board's attention for discussion.
Okay. Why don't you start and give us your thoughts of why we ought to do that, and if anyone else has comments, we'll bring that. And if you have a motion, if anybody has a motion.
Okay. Reading through the medical records and the investigative report, it does look as though there was quite a bit of freedom given to the PTA in making plan of care decisions, alterations, and that Mrs. Billiard, even after 41 visits with this particular patient in her clinic, did not perform a reevaluation, update the plan of care, or goals, regardless of the fact that the patient reported that she wasn't actually making progress. So I think it's something that we, you know, may need to, I would like to know more about that, and particularly her practice. So, I mean, I'm happy to make a motion, but I'll make a motion for the point of discussion. So I move that we open a complaint against PT Stacy Billiard, regarding the allegations found in the investigative report presented to us.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion, questions?
I'm against the motion. I don't think we should investigate if she's the one who reported this to the board, I don't know if she could have done anything different to prevent this. And so I don't, I'm against the motion.
I hear you, Josh. I think the important piece to know is that she didn't report to the board because she found it. She was notified that he'd been arrested.
I understand that, but
right.
You know, if she hadn't reported, we may have a different discussion here, but.
As a PT, I'm very concerned about the fact that this patient received 41 treatment sessions without being seen by the PT again for a reevaluation, which certainly doesn't follow our expectation of this, even the minimum standard of care for patients. And it's concerning that there may be more about that.
Any other comments?
I would agree with Kelly on this, or Dr. King on this. I mean, there's a minimum standard of what a PT needs to be responsible for in terms of managing the care and proper delegation to a PTA. And from the documentation, it doesn't look like that was upheld the way that it needed to within the standards of our statutes. And I mean, honestly, looking at the diagnosis, I'm kind of wondering why it was 41 visits just based on what the diagnosis was, especially within the age range of the patient and taking all those things into consideration. It just seemed a little unreasonable.
Yeah, thank you, Giovanni. And just reading the patient documentation, and of course, I don't know, but if the PT had followed the standard of actually reevaluating and spending time with the patient, she may have identified some of the issues that were going on with this patient, leading us to where we're at today. So she didn't have contact with the patient after the initial evaluation, didn't delegate, didn't supervise, therefore leaving this patient in a situation that doesn't meet our standards.
I will insert myself here that this PT did see the patient periodically, but she did not reassess the patient. She just carried forward with whatever the treatment had been up to that point.
Okay. Has she specified anything regarding why no reassessment was done? Did she specify any, like there was no need for it, or?
So given the nature of this complaint, the way it came forward, I did not interview everybody to this point related to the clinical care aspect of the case. So if you move forward with this, then I would proceed with the interviews related to the clinical care and plan of care.
And honestly, that's the reason for the motion. We may very well dismiss it, but I think this is very concerning. What we know, the little we know about, is concerning for me as a board member. So I understand Josh's concern, you know, about slapping the hand of someone who's reporting it to us. This is bigger than that for me in reading this.
And you don't want to make a situation where you did something wrong, but you're going to report somebody else to the board and get a free pass on everything you did wrong.
Correct.
Yep.
And you're reviewing, and I'm not a clinician, but reviewing the records, you know, I don't necessarily see that she did anything wrong. So I'm still a no on the motion.
Any other comments? I can see both sides of the issue. I think I'm falling more on the side of let's opening up, because I would, you know, let's just see if there is something that we ought to be worried about, or if not.
Well, our rules are fairly specific on reevaluations needing to be performed every 30 days, and so. I think from that perspective alone, is my yes vote. But I truly appreciate where Josh is coming from, because my initial was like, I don't know. I mean, you know, she did what she had to do, and but is this you know, kind of the tip of the iceberg, and are many clients in that facility being treated the same? So I don't know.
Yeah, thanks, Karen. I don't think we know unless we ask, which is why I would just open it, look into it, and go from there.
Does everyone feel like they have enough information to vote on the matter? And let's have a vote.
Okay, the motion before you, it's been moved and seconded to open a complaint against Stacy Billiard, PT, for potential violations outlined in the investigative report of case 2120. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
I'm sorry, yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
There was more and more suggestion about two PTAs, Angelica and Kelly. I'm inclined to do nothing at this age. I think once we complete the investigation on the physical therapist, we'll know whether or not there is anything that we need to do about the PTAs.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, Mark, for sure.
So at this point, let's do nothing.
Is that a motion, or are we just doing nothing?
I was just going to do nothing. Mark, do I need to make an emotion?
Dr. Cornwall, members of the board, you do not.
Okay.
Thank you. Right.
Well, then I think this concludes the matter of case 2120, Alejandro, for now. Yep.
Thank you.
Ms. Thompson has raised a hand. I believe she's trying to inform us potentially that Mr. Dierenfeld has joined the meeting.
Yes, correct.
All right. So that took a lot longer than we anticipated, but I'm glad that he was able to make it. So let's move back up to item 4A, 421-05, Robert Dierenfeld, physical therapist. So.
I'll do just a brief case overview, and I also want to double check that the complainant AL is not present on the call. Okay. This is a continuation of an initial review that the board reviewed at their July 20th meeting. At that time, you added additional potential violations of law, and you ordered continued investigation with focus on the newly discovered information that was related to a patient complaint. So the supplemental investigative report does include information related to the patient complaint. This case is for your review.
Mr. Dierenfeld, would you or your counsel like to make an opening statement?
Yes, please.
Hold on a minute. I have him mute. I'd like to make a brief statement, and then when I'm done, Dr. Dierenfeld, we're in the same room, so hopefully there's no echo. Just briefly, I've already submitted a couple of responses to the board. I also made a statement at the last board meeting. I'd like to remind the board, however, of a few key points. First and foremost, hold on, there's an echo here. Dr. Dierenfeld admits that he made certain statements to a coworker to whom he developed a friendship. He intended those statements to be nothing more than humor and playful banter, and in many respects, it was mutual. In retrospect, he agrees his conduct was unprofessional, While he certainly did not intend, however, any of his statements to be offensive or sexual in nature, he understands that is how they were perceived by the complainant, and he certainly regrets making her uncomfortable. As I noted at the last meeting, there was a prior incident in his personnel file where a patient did complain that she felt uncomfortable during a procedure, primarily because he did not drape her during therapy, which Dr. Durenfeld admits was not done and should have been because he was pressed for time. One of the allegations added was an alleged violation of ARS 32-204410C. We take issue with this very serious allegation. There is no evidence to support any sort of intentional sexual misconduct on Dr. Durenfeld's part relating to a purposeful viewing of a disrobed patient, quote unquote, not related to treatment, which is what the statute requires. He should have draped the patient. He acknowledges he should have draped the patient, but the failure was not due to anything sexual in nature, despite the unfortunate, the patient's perception. In reviewing the investigative report that we just received only a few days ago, we learned that the patient reported additional details to the board investigator that we were unaware of. We want to make clear that he adamantly denies any suggestion of improper behavior. The patient perceived something that was not accurate and certainly not what was intended. Again, this is Dr. Durenfeld's first complaint of this nature in his 38 years of practice, and we do ask that the board take that into consideration. As you know, Dr. Durenfeld's here, and he has a brief statement he'd like to make to the board. Thank you. Oh, he's lost his connection, so I'm going to turn my computer around so he can speak to the board here.
Thank you, board members, for allowing me the opportunity to speak. I apologize for being a little tardy. I'm in the Moderna vaccine study and had an appointment for a follow-up that is set 6 months in advance for testing. So I apologize. Those of you on the board know me. A couple of you know me from our history together, know that I have a habit of speaking without thinking and being a little loud and rude times. This is no excuse, but it is my personality. I find the entire complaint from Ms. Madrid outrageous. This was a case of nothing but two adults that are coworkers flirting, and the flirting occurred both ways. It was not one way, as the investigation kind of makes it sound, that there was flirting on both sides. I'm very sensitive to the Me Too movement and what's gone on, and never intended for this to be anything that. I have the utmost respect for coworkers and the females in the office, and this would have never occurred had I been aware of the situation. Her statements about fearing for her job are unfounded. I did not have sole responsibility for terminating her at any time. That decision would have had to gone through multiple layers of complaints, including up to the overall office manager of all the offices, and by the Tucson regional manager, would have had to all have a say in that. Her complaint about her annual review being scored as a retribution is unfounded and wrong. I had no idea what her previous review looked like. I was never given a copy of it. I was instructed by my supervisor, Christy Sorby, that basically people are to get threes and maybe a couple of fours or fives. Otherwise, if they're doing their job and doing everything they were supposed to do, they were at threes, and that's exactly how I scored her. I did give her a couple of fours and I think 1-5 because she did excel in some areas. But there was nothing, that was all based on what I was told, how I was instructed to score the review. I'm more upset about the patient complaint. I've been doing this a long time. I've prided myself in providing the utmost care and quality of care to patients. I did make a mistake. I admit it. I was rushing that day. I was running behind. I was doing a massage to her lumbar region. I did not drape her with a towel. Her pants were never pulled down beyond the crease of her buttock. They were always pulled to the top of the crease. The curtains were open. Since she was the only patient in the office, being a female, I'd leave the curtains open because I have a past history with my mentor who had been accused of misconduct sexually in the past. And with my front office person up in her office area working, she couldn't see it, so I wanted the patient to feel more comfortable instead of in a closed room with male, and I do that for my own protection. The mobilization techniques she complains about were standard mobilization. She was sidelying, facing me, not away from me. Her knees were flexed with resting. I was in a semi-squatted position with her knees resting in my kind of groin crease and on my thighs to support her legs, and I was doing a forward and backward flexion extension maneuver. The rotation mobilization techniques are approved by the physician I worked with in this case, and I've worked with this physician for years. Even though he does a fusion, he allows rotation in his visits at that point. They were not aggressive. They were gentle. The patient, again, every patient has a different tolerance. They may have hurt. She didn't say anything, or I would have backed off. Like you said, I'm just really upset that she had a bad experience. That is not my intent for any patient, and I've not had a patient complain in the past. Unfortunately, I have no way to prove what I did was appropriate other than my word and years of experience without other complaints. I pride myself on lifelong learning and have always tried to improve as a PT. I've learned some valuable lessons from this incident. One is how I have to behave around my coworkers and stay and talk around my coworkers. Things maybe I've done in the past, times have changed, and I have to be more appropriate. I now am treating all my patients strictly in an open room. I am not exposing them at all on clothing. I'm working through clothing, so I don't have to worry about this type of thing or worry about offending someone or taking it the wrong way. Lastly, I'd like to just, on a personal note, send my condolences to the board on passing of Karen Donahue. I've known Karen, as some of you know, for years as my past position as president of the physical therapy and on the board of chief of delegate. Karen is a huge loss to you guys and the profession of physical therapy as a whole, and she will be missed. Thank you.
You're on mute.
Do any of the board members have any questions? One question, Mr. Dimford. What have you done, if anything, since this complaint was made, or continuing education? You've mentioned some things you've changed in your clinical practice, but anything else you want to mention?
As you guys, I think we sent in the original complaint, I did take another course on sexual harassment. Most of the stuff on the courses isn't geared at what this type of harassment was, but I understand the feelings of it. Like I said, I have changed. I'm being very careful how I treat my patients, making sure that they are appropriately covered. I'm explaining things much more detailed to my patients now, what I'm going to do so that they're more aware of what's going to happen and how they're going to be positioned.
Thank you. Any board members have questions for Mr. Dierenfeld or his attorney, or would you like to make a motion? I think this is appropriate. Well, I'm going to go forward and I'll find out. To me, it's obvious that the vast majority, if not all of it, was unintentional. That he stepped over a boundary where he assumed familiarity where that wasn't really the case. And I think I would be inclined to either dismiss or have an order for a non-disciplinary order for continuing education related to maybe the jurisprudence exam, or if there's other coursework out there that would help him kind of sift through when he should think and when he should say. I'm interested in other board members' ideas, so that's why it's not a motion at this point.
I think that we could issue an advisory letter, perhaps with acknowledging the coursework that he has already done in the area of sexual harassment and workplace ethics, and advise him to be mindful of when he's speaking.
Yeah, Karen, I agree with you. Just to clarify, because I may have missed it, I apologize. Mr. Dierenfeld, have you recently taken an ethics or ethics in workplace course?
Yes, I did. I took that as soon as the complaint came up. I did take that.
Do you recall how many hours it was?
I don't remember.
We did send that to the board staff. Yeah. The board staff with our initial response.
It should be part of the exhibits. Let me go back.
It's my fault. I'm trying to go through the documents to try and find the. I hope maybe someone knew off the top of their head, but I can find it.
There should be a certificate of completion.
Was it one of the ones through MedBridge? Does that sound familiar?
Yes,
it's on page 178, certificate, MedBridge, taken March 21st. The course was Illinois Sexual Harassment Prevention Training, and the CEUs were 1.75.
Okay, so Illinois Sexual Harassment Training, but that's not the same as ethics. That's what I was really looking for, is just overall ethics.
Overall ethics, I have not had anything since when I had my, when I received my DPT, my transitional DPT in 2013.
Thank you.
So it sounds like maybe an ethics course would be appropriate, maybe having retake the jurisprudence. The letter of concern, advisory letter, the only problem I have that is that if we think that these courses would really be benefit, that letter would not require him to do them.
Okay, I understand.
Well, we can make a non-disciplinary order for continuing education where we stipulate so many hours of ethics.
And I'm okay with that.
I think we can. Yeah, I wouldn't be in agreement with something non-disciplinary but requiring ethics.
And
so, anybody want to make that a formal motion?
Tell them I'll take it no matter what.
Yeah.
All right, then I will. I move that we make a non-disciplinary order of continuing education to include at least 3 hours of ethics, and to take and pass the jurisprudence exam.
No, we can't put jurisprudence in a non-disciplinary.
Oh, we can't because it's not continuing education. Okay. So 3 hours of continuing education in area of ethics.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any comments, discussion?
Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, how much time did you want to give him to complete the 3 hours?
And 6 months.
Thank you.
And I'm assuming we don't have to stipulate that it can be online anymore. I mean, is that just a given, or do we have to actually say that?
I think we should be as specific as possible.
I'll include that he may, does not require, but he may take them online.
I agree with that.
All right, anything further?
I'd like to make one comment about his Illinois Sexual Harassment Prevention Training. I have a two CPA licenses in the state of Illinois, and it's required of all license holders in Illinois to go through this training, and it is very informative and gives good examples. And while the course was put by someone else, the content looks exactly the same. So I think it was good training for him.
Good. that makes me feel better that we're not requiring that aspect. So are people ready for a vote, or is there more information you need to get answers? Then I'll call the question.
It's been moved and seconded to offer a non-disciplinary order for continuing education to include 3 hours of ethics to be completed within 6 months, and the course can be taken online. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Well, thank you very much for attending. If you have questions, the staff will be happy to help you.
Thank you very much for your understanding, Board. I appreciate your diligence in this matter, and I will work harder to behave and we'll get immediately on the course.
Okay. All right. How are we doing on the recording? Are we still okay?
Yeah, we're still okay.
Okay. So let's move to item 4B, review, discussion, possible action for request for termination of non-disciplinary order, Board Order 20-29, Justin McKinney, physical therapist. And I don't believe Mr. McKinney is present.
He is represented by Attorney Burgess of Sanders Parks. I don't know if she's on the line. Robin Burgess.
I don't see any of the little pictures in front of me. But so let's move forward then.
I move that we accept Mr. McKinney's request for early termination of his board order.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All right. Judy, why don't you call the question?
It's been moved and seconded to accept the request for termination of non-disciplinary order in case 2029, Justin McKinney, PT. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Next item is 4C, review, discussion, and possible action for request for termination of probation. Number two, Board Order 20-25, Trizia Lage, physical therapist assistant. I move that we approve her request for termination of probation.
Second.
Any discussion on the motion to accept? Okay, let's vote.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the request for termination of probation in case 2025. Trisha Lage, PTA. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Motion passes.
The last one is Board Order 20-06, Todd Holland, physical therapist. Again, I move that we accept and approve his request for termination of probation.
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? All right, let's vote.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the request for termination of probation in case 2006, Todd Holland, PT. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Vecchio?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Now, I don't believe this needs to be a formal motion, but I propose that we allow staff to put these kinds of requests for early termination or regular termination as a consent agenda item, and very similar to what we do with other cases. So we would only discuss the ones that people have an issue with. And if you're okay with that, then we'll direct staff to make those in a consent agenda.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. So staff, all right. We'll do that in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to 4D, review, discussion, and possible action for review of potential opening a complaint. SD, physical therapist assistant.
Members of the board, I had tried to highlight the scenario for this issue in the memorandum. I don't know if you want me to review that or if that was self-explanatory. Do you want me to just read through it?
Yeah, just real quickly. How's
okay.
That?
The board was notified on the 15th of September that SD had been charged and convicted of a crime that was dating back to 11-18-19. When she did her reinstatement application, she answered yes to the good moral conduct question. The timeline I thought might be helpful to you. So she received her certificate in May of 2018. Charged with assault in November of 2019. She reached a plea agreement and went through the court in terms of concluding the matter in July of 2020. She did not renew her certificate at the time of the renewal of 9-1-2020, so she was administratively suspended. Then she submits a reapplication, a reinstatement application, 9-15-21, which is where she reported the GMC. The board did reinstate her, and it now comes before you to consider whether or not you wish to take any action, such as opening a complaint for failure to report.
Did she work in between 9-1 of 2020 and 19 of 2021?
No, she did not.
Okay.
It appears that the charge was a misdemeanor, and I don't think it's a charge that affects patient safety. So I don't know if she had an obligation to report it. And so with that, I would move that we take no action.
It is my understanding that they're required to notice the board at any time they have like a DUI or anything like that.
Correct.
And the reason we did that is because a DUI, Dr. Cornwell, affects patient safety. The statute says it's a affecting the patient's safety or a felony. So the reason why with the DUI, but she was charged with the DUI. She was, looks like reckless driving. She was involved in an accident.
Okay. Well, maybe it's a reach to say that maybe she has anger management problems, which would spill over into the clinic, but
And just to be clear, it appears that the assault was from a vehicle. She was driving too fast.
Okay. Any other comments? since this is a potentially opening a complaint, we can either open a complaint or we can do nothing. So there's nothing to dismiss. Josh, do you want to make yours a motion?
Yeah, I would move that we take no action.
Okay. Second. Been moved and seconded to take no action. Discussion? Okay, let's call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to take no action regarding the potential opening a complaint against SDPTA. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Let's move. Let's item on that is CF, physical therapist.
Yes, Mr. CF, we were notified on September 10th via the National Practitioner Database that he had received disciplinary action from the Nevada Physical Therapy Board, where he holds a license, and I attached the notice for your review. He received his Arizona license to practice in May of 2021, and per ARS 2044-9 and 32-2053, Section A-4-8 and Section 6E, the board can elect to take action in response to this notice.
I'm kind of inclined to let Nevada handle this, but send them a non-disciplinary letter outlining the supervision in this state, because if he's having issues with Nevada supervision, he may be lax on supervision here, but just put him on notice that we know about it, and that these are the rules in Arizona.
So it sounds like you want to open a complaint, Ms. Clinton.
No, not a complaint, non-disciplinary letter of advisement.
Yeah, we can't do that until we open a complaint.
Oh.
Yeah, because that was my same thought, was I wanted to at least get something recognizing what our statutes say to avoid any issues in Arizona, but I wasn't sure how we would proceed with that unless it was an actual complaint.
Yeah, I would hate to have the board go through, board staff go through an investigation on this, and Nevada already handled it, so like, I'm inclined no action then.
Mr. Hurst, can you give us any options with or should we go into executive session?
It's a mini break.
The best legal advice we ever got.
I think that's right. Generally, you can take no action. I am aware that at least with other agencies, and I believe this board as well, has simply adopted opened up a complaint and adopted whatever terms and conditions were reflected in the other jurisdiction's order into your order, basically requiring them to comply with the other state's order. If you don't think that that's necessary, I do think that another option would be kind of a hybrid, as Mr. Greer and Mr. Clinton indicated. You would need to open up a complaint, but you could immediately dismiss it with an advisory letter expressing the concerns that Mr. Clinton just referenced. I don't know that simply opening up a complaint would necessarily require board staff to do any further investigation other than what has been presented to you at this meeting, unless you direct staff to do so.
Thank you. Is that something that...
Okay. So that we would open up a complaint here right now, make a motion for that, make a motion to dismiss it with just a letter going to the individual.
With an advisory letter, yes. I believe that you can do that. I'm not sure if you've done something like that in the past, but I believe the agenda would support that.
Can we do it in all one motion, or should we handle it in two or three?
I would ask that you probably entertain two separate motions.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I move that we open up a complaint against CF, physical therapist.
Second.
All right, discussion on that. Okay, let's call the vote on that one.
It's been moved and seconded to open a complaint against CF PT. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Mr. Clinton, do you want to take one, or should we have Mr. Greer?
Are we even agendized to adjudicate this at this time, Mr. Harris?
Thank you, Mr. Greer, members of the board, for bringing that up. It is agendized as review, discussion, and possible action for review of potentially opening up a complaint. So why don't we do this? If it's okay with the board, we'll simply bring it back to you next month for your consideration of dismissing it with an advisory letter.
Okay. Does that sound okay, everybody?
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it'll be agendized somehow like that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then there's nothing else we need to do on this, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. We're on to item number 5. 5A is review, discussion, and possible action regarding Supreme Court case number CV 2021-091960- Jane Roe versus Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy et al. And I would like to go into executive session for the reasons outlined in paragraph 1 under 5A.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, then let's call the vote on that.
It's been moved and seconded to move into executive session for purposes of discussing confidential information and obtaining legal advice. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, so Mr.
It is 10:43.
Mr. Bernardone, you have information to go into executive session. Oh, he's gone. All right. All right, hopefully he makes it over into the other one because we're going to need him. All right, see you there.
The recording is going to stop at 10:43.